Today is November 23rd, and we're in Souk with Frank Plains.
There we go. So tell me how you got involved in the military.
Well, it's a long story, but I was working in... what year was it? When did I join the Army? In 43, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In 43, I was working on a boom down here on Whippenspit, booming logs. And at quitting time, a Jeep come to our parking lot. And when I left to go home, he said, "Hey, Frankie, come here, I want to talk to you." So I went over there, and he said, "Jump in the Jeep, I'll drive you home." So I said, "Okay." And he said, "Have you thought about joining the Army?" I said, "Army? I don't want to join no darn Army." I said, I'm a mariner. I was born a mariner. I've been a fisherman ever since I was 9 years old." I said, "And I've been on the water ever since. That's my profession, as a fisherman." I said, "I'm a captain of small boats and everything like that now, and I intend to get a heck of a lot bigger." And I said, "If I was going to join any outfit," I said, "I'd join the Navy, not the Army." He said, no, wait a minute, you don't understand." He said, "We need you." I said, "You need me?" Yeah, we need you." He said, "We need you because of your knowledge." I said, "Well, how do you know so much about me anyway?" And he said, "Well," he said, "Frank," he said, "we know practically know when the last time you went to the bathroom." He said, "We know you that well." And I said, "Oh yeah." And this guy wore an officer's uniform, but he was a regimental sergeant major, and they're allowed to wear, you know, an officer's uniform. But anyway, he said, "We need you, your knowledge," he said, "and we don't need you tomorrow," he said, "we need you yesterday," he said. He said, "It's very, very important." I said, "Oh, well," I said, "Army, I just don't see that as a good choice." He said, "Well," he said, "just consider," he said, "that you're going to be a very sharp point in the thing that goes on around here." He said, "I'll explain it to you." He said, if you come with us," he said, "and believe me," he said, "we need you real bad." I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, I don't have to join anything." He said, "Yeah, we know that." And I said, and another thing," I said, "I have parents. I can't just..." I wasn't all that old then when I was... I said, I have to talk to my parents about this." He said, "Well," he said, "I got an envelope here." He said, if you decide to come with us," he said, "you see your parents tonight," he said, "and if you decide to come with us, take this letter to the commanding officer of Little Mountain Barracks in Vancouver." And he said, "You will be with us." He says, they'll fix it so you're with us," he said. And he said, "when you got this letter," he said, "don't let anybody stop you." He said, "don't matter who it is." He says, "it wants to stop you or delay you in your mission to go join the Army," he said, "you just phone me and let me know." And he said, "I'll fix that up right away." So I said, "Okay, but I said, I still got to talk to my parents." So I came home, and I'm the oldest son. My mother was the princess of this nation here, and the oldest one with the old princess's name. My grandfather was a hereditary chief here. My great-grandfather was also a hereditary chief, and they passed the name on to me. And I went home and told her, "Mommy, I'm going to join the army." Well, she went into orbit right away. She just was having a heart attack and everything else, and I had to get a hold of her and love her a little bit and calm her down. And my stepfather was standing right there, and he just kept taking all this in. Finally, I got her calmed down a little bit, so she quit crying, and I went to my stepfather and I said, "You know, Dad," because he adopted me when I was just little, and he said, "You know, Dad, they want me to join the army for." The full reason I don't know, but I said, "I would like your opinion whether I should go or not." He said, "No, no, 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 Sonny, that's not within my power." He said, "I can't tell you to go join the army or not to." He said, "Because it'll come out wrong any way you look at it." He said, "And if I told you, yeah, go join the army, and you got killed in the army," he said, "I'd never, ever forgive myself." He said, "But I'll tell you one thing. If you yourself decide to join the army," he said, "I'll back you up 100%. He said, "And if you don't join the army," he said, "I'll still back you up 100%. He says, "Because none of this is within my..." I said, "Okay, Dad." And so I left, went to work the next morning again, quitting time. Here's this Jeep sitting there. And I found out later that the name of the officer, but... waited when the quit work time, I jumped in the Jeep, and he said, "Well," he said, "Frankie," he said, what did you decide? You talked to your parents?" I said, "Yes, I did." And they said it was completely up to me. And my mother, I told her just what I finished telling you, and I said, I have heard that through some of your talks that it's really a worthy thing. I don't want anybody to invade us here, and I will do my best to do what you want me to do." And he said, "Oh, that's great." And he pulled out the envelope and he said, "I knew you would join." And he gave me the envelope again. So I said, "Well, I'll be in Vancouver tomorrow morning." I said, "I'll leave on the midnight boat here to Vancouver, and I'll go there to Little Mountain Barracks and join the army." So the next morning, I went and got on the boat. And in them days, there was no ferries. You just got on a CPR boat and went to Vancouver. And I had a little place to sleep there. I don't know what they call them places, but I went to bed, woke up the next morning, already in Vancouver. So I started up the gangplank to go to find a taxi to get to this place that they were on the envelope. And somebody come up behind me and went like this. I turned around and looked, and it was my pal, the guy I was booming with down in the booming ground. And I said, "What on earth are you doing here?" He said, well, he said, I'm here to join the army. I said, oh yeah. And he pulled out an envelope. I said, well, here's the second one. Or the first one, I don't know which, but we both got the same place to go. He said, you got that right. So we went and got a taxi, and we got in there, and we said, we want to go to Little Mountain Barracks. He said, jump in, got in there, and drove us to, we come to a gate that was a big iron gate there, and there was a phone booth, and all kinds of guys with MP on their sleeve, military police, you know, on their sleeve. So I went over to the first guy, and I said, and he was standing right beside a phone. And I said, I got a... and I was supposed to give this letter to the commanding officer of that barracks. And I forget his name right now, but he was, believe me, the commanding officer. And I said, I gotta go and see the commanding officer. He said, oh, sure, sure. He said, I'd like to see the king and queen too. He said, but they're not even gonna let me in England. He said, so I said, well, they told me when they give me this letter, let nobody stand in my way. If you do, somebody's heads are gonna roll around here and it won't be mine. And he looked at me for a while and he went over to the phone. He grabbed the phone and dialed around there in the phone. And he said he has a Nelson on the planes here. I guess he was talking to the commanding officer. And he said, I'm just about to turn them away. And you should have heard that guy scream on the other end. Oh, when that man... that policeman turned around towards me. You could say somebody hit him with a white paintbrush. He turned all pale, and he said, "Come here, the two of us." And he called a jeep over. There was a corporal sitting in a jeep there, and called him over, and he said, "Jump in that jeep. It'll take you where you want." So we got in there, and he drove us, commanding officer, and corporal, and knocked on the door and told him to come in. And he said, I have a Plains and a Nelson here, and they say they want to see you. He said, let them right in right now, he said. So we went in, and he said, oh, we're glad to see you. He said, we're glad you're with us. He said, we need your talents. He said, we need it really bad right now. He said, and he called another corporal over. He said, take these two men. And then he asked us if we still wanted to join the army. And I said, oh yeah. And he said, take these two men over and get them to join the army. I said, okay, that's fine. And I jumped in the jeep. He drove us to this next building, and there was a long table in there, and there was looked to me like a staff sergeant, or a sergeant of some kind anyway. And like I say, I never had any training, and I didn't know any lingo of the army or anything. And he said, you take him down there and you get him the whole thing. So he said, okay, jump in the jeep, took us down there. And like I say, this long, the guy picked out clothes and he gave us a rifle, and he gave me a rifle that was a different color than the most of them. And I thought, well, what the heck? I grabbed it, and bags of clothing, right from shoes right up, everything. And Then when we were all got finished, he said, then he took us back to the commanding officer, and he said, they're all, he said, well, this is fine, Corporal. I said, here, as you were, and all this sort of thing. So he said to me, he said, you know, "You mariners," he said, "are all the same." He said, "You're antsy." I said, "Oh yeah." He said, "You're moving all the time." He said, "Yeah, I don't know." He said, "You sure of all this sort of thing?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we're building 95-foot boats." He said, "We got them." He said, "The first one to come into the I forget what he called it. Anyway, he said, "The first one we're going to get is a 95 footer, and it's just about maybe another 3 days to a week." He said, and it'll be ship shape. And he said, "Okay, that's great." And so we were talking to him, and he said, asked me, he said, if another boat, he said, we're I don't think I used the word commandeering, but it meant that we're getting private seine boats, them biggest seine boats they got on the coast. He said, we're getting them. He said, in addition to what we're building. He said, and if the first one comes up happens to be a seine boat, he said, we could put you on that. I said, "Thank you, sir. That's good." So, anyway, I jumped ahead a little bit when Harry Kemp, he's the regimental sergeant major that recruited me, when he was talking to me about joining the Army, I said, "The reasons I won't join the Army," I said, "I won't march." I said, "Because I'm not a marcher. I hate walking, and I'm not going to walk." He said, no, you'll never have to do that." And I said, "I don't wear a hat, and I don't salute anybody." I said, "If anybody wants to salute, they'll salute me because I've been captain." He said, "Well, I understand that." He said, "Everything's fine." So, but anyway, he asked me if I would, take this old fisherman boat. I said, "I'll do anything." So he said, "Well, we'll have to wait till we'll put you in a hut here. Take these two men into a hut," he said, "and bed them down." He said, "And they're waiting. You know, we'll wait there." Every morning at 6 o'clock, we had somebody come around, woke us all up, and out onto the parade ground. So we get out on the parade ground. I thought, "Oh no, this is the first lie I'm going to get." And so one of them regimental sergeant major, I don't know, or whatever he was, anyway, he said he had his list, and so and so, and they give you a number when you join the Army. Mine was K49136, and when I joined the Army, and he said, "You better memorize that number because that's your name from now on." He said, "You're K49136, and my partner was K49135. That's how close we were joining the Army, and so everything went real good. And so we were there in that waiting place, and in the morning, like I say, at 6, they were out under the parade ground, and then he'd read out a whole bunch of platoon this and that. He said, and 2 steps forward, those guys would all take 2 steps forward, away to someplace in the interior where they get their basic training, eh? And I started to look at my shoes, and I thought, "Well, now this is not what anybody told me that I was going to go for basic training." Then all of a sudden he said, "K49135, K49136, 2 paces forward." we stepped forward out of the crowd, and he said, back to the hut, you know, whatever it was there. So we went back there. This went on for about a week. And I said to him, I said to the sergeant that was around, hanging around there all the time, don't know what he was doing. They trained us to make our beds too. But anyway, I said, I'd like to see my commanding officer again. He said, okay, Plains, I'll take you there. So he took me there, and because I got to know this guy pretty well. And he said, I have K49136 Plains Private FC here to see you, sir. Send him in, he said. I went in there and I said, you know, I said, I've been here now for just about a week, something like that. I said, and I have a fiance here in Vancouver, and I haven't been able to go down there and visit her. He said, Plains, is that all you want? I said, well, yeah, maybe not all, but he said, that's what I want right now, to go and see her. He said, well, he said, we'll fix that up right now. And he gave me a business card, but it was a pretty blue color. And he took it off his desk, and he got down there, and he wrote in it, K49136 Plains Private FC has permission to be absent from his ship whenever his duties cease, period. Now I'm going to tell you, every mounted policeman in Army policeman in Vancouver was having a field day with that thing. And they, her and I were walking down the street one day, and here comes two military policemen, and I got my hat tucked in my lapel here, wherever the little thing you pushed it in there, and I never wore it. And he said, oh, soldier, come on over here. I said, yeah? What do you want? He said, you're improperly dressed. I said, oh, is that right? He said, you get to put that hat on. I said, no, hell I will. I don't wear a hat. And so that sergeant at the thing told me to keep my hat. If I don't wear it, keep it in my... Because it's got a badge on it. And so, anyway, the argument went on, and I told him, I'm going to put it on. He said, well, we'll take you into the barracks, and you'll wind up in the, I forget what they call that, jail anyway. So I said, okay. He said, but you're going to be sorry. So I forget what phone he used, but he phoned, and you could almost hear that guy, that commanding officer again, tell him what was going on and leave them guys alone. And so he said, okay, as you were, carry on. So we left, didn't we? And they tried to stop me one night from coming over to here, over to Victoria on a CPR boat, because our boat was taking a little longer. There was something wrong with the engine, and they had to get a part from, I don't know where it was, Detroit or someplace, and it was being flown over, and we had to wait for that, and then for the engineers to put it on, and all this sort of thing. And so he said to me, you know, you're getting delayed again. He said, I know you want. He said, We got a yacht going to York Island, he said, in Johnson Straits. And he said, we need a quartermaster aboard there. And he said, Plains, would you like to take that job? I said, as long as it's on the boat, yeah, I'll take it. He said, it's only going to be a three-day trip, he said, at the very most. He says, because it's a boat called the Garland Marie, he said, and it's very fast. It's a yacht, and it's very fast. He said, it's taking officers to York Island. In York Island, it's right close to Seymour Narrows, and that's the island that they had the big gun on, that when boats come through, they had to report to York Island who they were, or the friend or foe or whatever, and there was hardly any boat ever allowed through there without reporting. And those ones that didn't report had a shot fired across their bow to convince them that they got to report. So we had to take those five, they were, I forget what kind of officers they were, but they were pretty high up types. So we took them there, dumped them off, and come back. And so when I got back, and what he said was, I was a quartermaster. That's the guy that steers the boat, eh? You know, the captain just says, okay, southwest by west a half west, and that's what you say, southwest by west a half west it is, and you turn the boat to that. You know, it was a simple job. And so when we got back, he said, I said, that's great. He said, there's a, we got one of the boats that we got. He said, we just finished painting it. So, and he said, the old name for that boat was, I think it was Josephine D2. He said, and it's changed now to Colonel Holmes. And he says, it has a big Z-47 on the bow. He said, that's, if you want, he said, you can jump on that one. He said, it's all ready, the parts are in, and everything is all doing well. So he said, you can go jump in that Jeep and head down right now. I said, so I said, okay, that's fine. And I jumped in the Jeep, took us down and walked. And where the boats were kept was in Cole Harbor, right inside of Dead Man's Island, pretty near to the causeway. There was a whole bunch of floats. I think there was six floats there, all out, you know, like that, and the boats would land in between them. And they were all army boats. So I got in this Jeep and went down there, and I'm walking down with all, loaded down with all kinds of clothing and stuff. I got the last boat I seen, a Z-47 on the bow, and I thought, well, that's the one. So I put my rifle down, leaned up against the gunwale, and threw my bags of clothes in there, and I heard the wheelhouse door open. The door opened, and man looked out. It was Harry Kemp, and he was a regimental sergeant major, the guy that recruited me here. He was a skipper, and he said, Frankie, I got you. He said, that's great. He said, I was wishing that you would be in my crew. I said, well, that's great. I got to call him Harry by then. You know, I knew him well then. And he said, oh, come on. He said, now we're ready to pull out. We're going to pull out here within a couple of days. I said, oh, that's good. He said, first of all, he said, you're not a deckhand. He said, you're going to be quartermaster. And that's the guy that steers the boat again. And he said, what we have to do to you is to make you familiar with a machine gun. I said, oh, yeah, and what does this entail? He said, well, he said, first of all, they're Lewis machine guns, he said. He said, there's two mounted up on the top deck. And he said, they're your responsibility because you are also a machine gunner. I said, well, I never shot a machine gun in my life. He said, well, that's just exactly what I'm going to teacher right now. So he took this machine gun and put it on a galley table, and he tore it all apart. Oh, he said there's a, I forget how many, what they call them. There were stoppages anyway. He said the machine gun's going to go shoot, and he said if it stops, he said there's something causing it. He said it's a 1, 2, or 3 or something like that. He said you have to learn them. He said and know when it stops, know what made it stop. So I thought, well, he said we know that you can shoot. He said we know that you're the next thing to a sniper. He said, we know that. And he said, as far as a rifle goes, he said, you got that good rifle? I said, yes, I have. It's different than the others I see. He said, yeah, well, that's the one. He said, it's a good rifle. And so he tore this thing all apart, and he said, now you have to put this back together within 3 minutes. He said, and this is a stoppage number one, this is a stoppage number